A very good morning to you. Now, I spoke from Nehemiah chapter 1 last week, and the topic was on spiritual renewal. I trust that you remember what spiritual renewal is. Very much like revival, but revival normally spreads. Alright, it will spread to the family, to the church, and then to the society, or nation at large. But then, revival it's not sustained. Right? Revival comes and it goes after some time. What about our life? Our life needs to be revived. And that revival, which we term renewal, we reach that renewal. And renewal happened within us. We work to have our spiritual life renewed. So it's individual. Normally it does not spread. And we need that spiritual strengthening day by day, week by week, month by month, throughout our life. And I hope that God help us to seek renewal daily. Now I'm going to continue a series of study based on the book of Nehemiah. There are 13 chapters. It is not possible to do it chapter by chapter. But let me do it by topics. And this morning I want to take up the topic, making a difference. And I've chosen the text from chapter 3. Now we read with the chairman earlier on, and we realized that chapter 3, very long, there are over 30 verses. I can only choose to read the first half of the chapter. And you'll realize that there are many names, right? And some of the names are so difficult to pronounce. Yeah? And then the second thing we also notice, what is written here has nothing to do with us. So, sometimes, as Christians, we tend to skip over those chapters, right? Now, if you have read 2 Chronicles, you know there is at least a few chapters of names. Okay? I don't know how many of us really read through those chapters, huh? But read it for several reasons. One, there must be some truth that God wants us to learn from those chapters. They are recorded for a purpose. Two, obviously, it is the Word of God. Okay? And we cannot to neglect it, though seemingly it has nothing to do with our life, you know, with our Christian practice today. Now, from reading of these few verses in chapter 3, we are told that different people built the different part of the wall of Jerusalem. Okay, and if you read them and you have seen a map, the record of the building was in this direction. It's anti-clockwise. That means from the right to the left, and it goes down and it goes back to the sheep gate, which is the first gate mentioned. The sheep gate is right on top. Okay, the northern part, or somebody will say the northeastern part of the city of Jerusalem. Now there's something else about this rebuilding of the wall. In chapter 6 verse 15, we are told that the wall was completed in 52 days. Now it was a great feat, right, for the people of Israel to build a wall in 52 days. So there must be something that is happening in the life of the people. And they worked together such that the wall was completed in a short period of time. Now, we are told that the wall was completed on the 20th and the 5th day of the month of Elul. If you look at the dictionary, you know that the month of Elul is sometime between August and September. Okay, so if they had finished the work in 52 days, in other words, they would have started the work sometime in June or July. Okay, and then remember another thing is that the Hebrew calendar is based on a 29 day a month. So they used almost 2 months, slightly less than 2 months, to complete the building of the wall. And it has started in June or July. Now some of you have visited the country of Israel, or for that matter, in that region. And June and July is very hot. I have the opportunity to visit it during the summer time and also the winter time. Once visited it in June, the place in June, and it was so hot. So they started building the wall in June, a very hot period of time. But then we also know why, because when it gets colder, the labor will be slowed down, right? Because of the cold. Okay, so they choose the summer time, but it was hot, and yet people did not complain that it was hot. They built. Now, what is their motivation? Now, before we look at their motivation, okay, let's look at the direction of the building of the wall. Again, I say it's anti-clockwise from the Sheep Gate and all the way down south is the Dan Gate. Okay, and so it's quite interesting. If you read the names of the gate, it would have to do with what was happening at that time. Sheep Gate, because they brought the sheep into Jerusalem through that gate for sacrifice. Okay, then they come down to the Fish Gate. So what is the purpose of the Fish Gate? Okay, you know that the Jews eat fish, and they have plenty of supply of fish from Tyre, the coastal part of the country, and they will enter into the Fish Gate. But what about the Dung Gate? Okay, if you look at the city of Jerusalem, Dung Gate is right at the south, facing the Hinnom Valley. Hinnom Valley is the valley where they burn the rubbish. Okay, you know, the Israelites care about the environment and hygiene. They don't just burn things anywhere they like. Okay, they will bring all their rubbish and bring it to Hinnom, because the valley of Hinnom had many histories. But basically, we are talking about rubbish that are brought to that valley and then burnt there. Okay, or today they will just cover it, landfill we call it. Okay, now Dung Gate will be the gate where they bring out their rubbish. Okay, and we see people working at the various points of the city, and without any complaint. Okay? No one says, why do I have to build the Dung Gate? We expect the smell of rubbish going through the gate, right? Again, I say it was in the month of June, July, very hot. No one complained about working at a Fish Gate. They were just happy. So what is their motivation? Okay, they want to make a difference. So the purpose of my message this morning is, do we want to make a difference at home, in the church? And if we want to make a difference, there are some lessons for us. And I want to bring out three. Number one, to make a difference in at home or in our church, we must have a purpose. A purpose. Right? We know that the word purpose is a big word, right? When we are doing something, what is your purpose? And when you have the genuine purpose, you want to finish that work. So the purpose is important. Now, Nehemiah was able to lead the people to rebuild the wall because he helped them to focus on one single purpose. Chapter 2 verse 17 says, to rebuild the wall so that we be no more a reproach. I did mention a little bit last week, alright, that the Israelites came back to Jerusalem some 50 years ago, or in fact, if you include the finish of the temple, it will be more than 70 years ago, as promised. So they have been back. They built the temple, they rebuilt their houses, okay? So life seems to be going back to normal, but then there's a problem. The wall is not built. The enemies came once in a while to trouble them. Okay? And they long for a wall to protect them from the enemies. They were scorned, mocked at, laughed at, and says, "You are weak people. You know, you can't build a wall for yourself. Even if you build it, the foxes go on top of it, the wall will collapse." Now, they've been hearing this for a long time. Now, how come the wall is not built? Not until Nehemiah returned in the year 445 BC. Okay. Again, when I mention about the date, alright, I'm giving you the best date that is mentioned by Bible commentators, because there are people who ask me, why not 444? Because there are people who believe it's 444 BC. So put aside, you know, the differences in date, but it's accurate to say that it was sometime in 445 BC, because it was during the rule of Artaxerxes, certain time of it. So Nehemiah emphasized this point, so that we be no more a reproach to the people. Now remember, the Jews are very proud people. Now the word proud has both kind of connotation. I say I'm proud of my country. That is a positive connotation, right? Yeah, I'm proud of my family. That is positive. Okay. So when we say the Jews are proud of their country, it's a positive connotation. They're proud. But then at this time, they are under the constant attack, you would say, by the enemies. So they must resolve this problem. But they have not done it for a long time. Now, there are many reasons. Last week I gave you one. If you can remember, I said there's this apathy in them. Okay. It's no use doing it, you know. Yeah. I can't do it. Okay? Yeah. So, maybe someone else who is capable can do it. That's a spirit of apathy. Now, I think sometimes we are like that. Okay? Now, I think we should ask God for grace and say that if I have the opportunity to serve, I will serve. So, look at our church. There are ample opportunity to serve. I hope we will say, by God's grace, I will do it. So come and chair, come and do something for the Lord. Someone says this. He says, when the pain of continuing as you are is greater than the pain of change, you change. Maybe I need to read it again. He says, when the pain of continuing as you are is greater than the pain of change, you change. Now, let me illustrate it this way. Okay. Now, if, let's say, you are helping a drug addict, alright, and he comes to tell you, I feel terrible when I'm in the state of addiction, you know, and suffers all kinds of effects, adverse effect of drugs, okay? And then he says, no, I cannot surrender. Okay. Because if I surrender, then I'll have to go through the treatment of cold turkey and maybe many other things. To him, it's negative. Now, here, he's suffering in his state of addiction versus the state where he can go for treatment and he will get well. The commentator who said those words meant that go and get yourself treated. Okay? Because the state that you are in, you are going to remain miserable. Right? And when you get treated and rehabilitated, you'll be well. So, when the pain of continuing as you are, is greater than the pain of change, you change. Now, let's bring it closer to our life. Okay? When the pain of disgrace becomes greater than the pain, or maybe rebuilding the wall. The Jews chose to rebuild the wall. Now the question is, what is the challenges that we are facing in our life? Is there a need for change? We feel that our life is messy, nothing seems to be right. You know, relationship problems, pain and frustration. Then we should seek for change. Okay? The pain of the state you are in compared to change, then choose change. Now, get the commentator right. He's not saying that change will be easy. Obviously, it is not easy for an addict to quit, to become somebody back to his healthy self. Takes time, effort. You know, but if he can see that after the treatment, okay, he's healthy and he can do many things with his life, then he goes for it. Closer to us is, what about our life? You know, if we make a mistake in our life, if we have, go for the change. Ask God to help us. Do not remain in our sin. Because sin is not going to give us joy. Sin brings sorrow, misery. There are consequences. But if you choose to change, then you are going to reap the benefit of all the spiritual blessing that God has promised. So, we must have a purpose in our life. Now, then what is the main purpose? Yes, I want to change. I want to be free from drugs, from bad habits, you know, from as simple as maybe laziness. Okay. I want to change. But what is the ultimate purpose of change? The ultimate purpose of change is that we may glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So, that includes our desire to change. Right? Because we want to honor and glorify God. That should be our desire. And when we do that, we'll find that God's grace is sufficient for us to make changes in our life. Besides having a purpose, the next thing we must do is to participate. Right. We have a purpose, we want to do something in this church. It is good. But we all know that in order to get a job done, okay, to accomplish something in a church, we need all our participation. Okay, let's put it easy. We're talking about having a Christmas service, right? Yeah. So, that will be a Christmas service. Okay? So we come, and we want to make this service memorable. So there will be preaching of God's word, there will be a meal together, right? So it takes our participation. We must come. If not, the plan to have a Christmas worship or service or a Christmas celebration will result in no effect. So you must come. Your participation. Okay, then you think about what else you can do. Maybe bring some food, bring your friends. Okay. So we must participate. So we see that there is participation in the rebuilding of the wall. Right? Now remember, they were not building under the best of circumstances. Weather, very hot. Outside, enemies. Okay? They built, enemies tried to destroy. There were altogether 10 gates. Now, how long is the wall of Jerusalem? Well, it's slightly more than 4 kilometers long. Not that great a length. But then the wall was 40 feet high and 8 feet thick. That will make the building effort very substantial, isn't it? And it takes great effort. And that is why God led Nehemiah to record chapter 3. We see that many, many people were involved. The word next appeared 24 times. So and so built this, next to this, so and so built. Okay, 24 times. And they worked under the direction of Nehemiah. In this one chapter, Nehemiah named 38 leaders. So Nehemiah had the oversight of the rebuilding, and he appointed 38 leaders. They're all faithful to their task. The workers were faithful. That's why they were able to build it in such a short period of time. And not only that, we are also told that they set guards. Okay? Just in case the enemy comes to trouble them. So they were very well organized. Now all people were involved. I can't really name all of them. But you will see that verse 1 of chapter 3 tells us Eleazar the high priest and the priest built the sheep gate. Now, the priests were involved. Let me put it in today's term. The pastors, ministers were involved in the building of the gates. And that's amazing, huh? And I think I'm a pastor. I realize that I have a part to play. Okay, in the building of this church. I'm not talking about the physical building. Okay, I'm talking about the spiritual development of the church. All of us have a part to play. And then you have people who built the sheep gate, the fish gate, and then the many other gates. In chapter 3 verse 8, we are told that goldsmith and perfume makers were involved. So they put aside their usual trade and go and build the gates. In verse 12, women were involved. Daughters of so and so were involved in the building of the gates. Then verse 9, verse 14 tells us leaders of various districts were involved in the building of the gates. Verse 31 tells us merchants, people will come and do business, whether they are merchant, locally based, or merchant that comes from outside who are Jews, they were involved in the building of the gates. Or overall, we say it's the building of the wall of Jerusalem. Then there were also groups of people from other towns, the Turquites, Gibeonites, the people from Jericho, they came and helped in the building of the wall. And the Bible says each person takes his or her place in rebuilding. And not only that, we also read in our scripture reading that there were those who have completed their part and went to other pieces, another portion of the gate. They did not simply complete their part and say, I'm done. we are told that they went either to the next portion next to them or to other portions that take a longer time to build. Or they were involved. Now God has given us various gifts for the church. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12, he says, God has given us pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right, we have the list of spiritual gifts. Okay, and we are told that these spiritual gifts are given so that we may build up the one body, and that is the body, the spiritual body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God wants each one of us to contribute to the building up of His kingdom. You are given spiritual gifts. My question is, how are you using it? That is important. Somewhere in the middle of the scripture reading, verses 1 to 15, we are told that the turquoise were involved. Turquoise are people who come from Turquoise. And it is the city of the prophet of prophet Amos. Okay. And then that verse also says that the aristocrats will not get himself involved. Of course, the word aristocrat will be a more contemporary usage. The Bible says the nobles, right? They will not put their hand to work. Now, the Bible, some Bible commentators put it this way, and I agree. He says that today in our churches there are nobles of Turquoise. In other words, they make a lot of suggestion, but they will not help in the work. Not suggestions are welcome. We want the church to grow. We need ideas. Okay? But then, if you are asked to take up this work, your idea is good, take it up. Will you take it up? Most often, the reply will be, no. No, someone else can do it. Even better. Now, I'm not saying that in cases when it's genuine, I really can't do it. Okay? There are things that I know I can't do it. Okay? You ask me to repair a clock, I can take out everything, but I can't put it back. Okay? So I will never try, because I did it once, and I never put it back. Now, I got to admit that there are things I cannot do. Genuinely, I cannot do. But if you can do it, please contribute your gift for the church. So we must have a purpose, we must participate. Next we come, we must acknowledge those who are involved in the work. Now the purpose of recording chapter 3 with all the names there, Nehemiah wanted to acknowledge those who have been involved in the work. And we want to acknowledge those who are serving. If I may alliterate my outline, you'll be purpose, participate, praise. I'm talking about praise given to those who deserve to be praised. Praise. Okay. That's why you have all these names. They are good people, they are hardworking. Okay. They contributed to the building of the wall of Jerusalem. Now, if you look through the names, many of them are unknown. Right? I mean, they are not names that we know. They did not come from an ancestry well known. Okay? So they are probably common people. But Nehemiah acknowledged their effort. And again, this is why chapter 3 is recorded for us. For example, the building of the Dung Gate by Micaiah, the son of Rechab. Now, who is Makar, son of Rechab?
We don't know.
Okay. And Rechab is known to be the ruler of the part of Beth Hakeram.
Where is that place? We also don't know.
But God remember them and their work. Okay. Now sometimes you do a work, and if no one acknowledge, I want you to remember this, that God knows. Your reward, as we say, is in heaven. Okay, particularly if you are doing a work for the kingdom of God. Your witnessing is not in vain. Yeah. Let me talk about witnessing. Huh? Sometimes we are discouraged, right? I try to tell my friend, you know, about Jesus Christ. I preach the gospel, but no response. Now remember, you are sowing the seed. If you have not sown the seed of the gospel, that person may not have the opportunity to hear it. And when you have sown the seed, we believe God works. Someday, he may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't that true for many of our case? Someone preached to us, right? And it may be months or years later, we responded by acknowledging Jesus Christ as our Savior. Okay, because someone witnessed to us. In which area are you serving today? Sunday school? Teaching the children? The kitchen? I know many of you are helping out in the cleaning of the kitchen after the Sunday service. Now these are good work in the sight of God, because in his sight there is no work that is insignificant. Okay. What you have done for him, for the Lord Jesus Christ, he remember. Remember the parable of the goat and the sheep? Jesus says, if you have done this thing for the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Even by giving a cup of water is remembered by the Lord. So today we look at our church and we say it's small. I hope more people will come to church. That's a good thought. But let's bring it to another level. It says, can I now say I want to do my best to bring a family member, to bring a friend to church? Think about it. Pray for that person. And if you genuinely put in the effort, I think you'll see something's happening. God is working. Okay? So we are not called to do the difficult job of building the wall, but we are called to do the job of preaching the gospel. I hope all of us will be involved. It is our desire to see our family members coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to do something. We have to tell them, right? It's not easy, you know, to tell mom and dad you have to come to believe in Jesus Christ. Sometimes they feel or they take offense at the preaching. Right. But God works and they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I think many of us experience that. Okay? We preach to our parents, no response, and then somehow, someday, they see their need and they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So my encouragement to you is this: do it, okay, and trust that God will work. I hope to see people responding to the gospel. Filling the church pew is one small goal, but the salvation of soul is that big goal that we desire that it will happen. May God help us and use us for His glory. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Nehemiah chapter 3. Today we have a fresh perspective of the chapter, and pray that You encourage us through the reading of this chapter. We see that the people in the time of Nehemiah put their hands together, their hearts together, and accomplish a great task. So Lord, I pray that our church will have that kind of unity in spirit and mind. Use us for the building up of this church. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.